Well, it seems like a good opportunity to talk to Tony, who's in Westcliff, because he wants to ask something about that. Hi, Tony.
Good evening, sir.
What's your question for Maggie?
Well, we've been sending out radio waves for about 80 years, you know, give or take a little. And I just wondered, they'll go at the speed of light, so it'd be 80 light years, the nearest star that could hear them, wouldn't it?
Right.
You know, anyway, I just wondered how many planets come within that orbit, within that sort of range.
Right, so you can imagine this sphere around the Earth going out into space that is filled with radio noise that we have emitted because of our technological activities. Uh-huh. And that, you know, if you want to count the those very first broadcasts where people were just beginning to really play around with radios and transatlantic communications, for example, then we have that the radius of that sphere around us is something, like 80 or maybe as much as 100 light years. And within that distance, I don't think in terms of light years. I'm an astronomer. I think in terms of parsecs. And one parsec is about 3 light years. So if you say the sphere is about 30 parsecs in radius, I know that there are about 3,000 to 5,000 stars inside that sphere around us. And of those, about, say, 2,000 of them are sun-like stars. Say 1,500 to 2,000 would be roughly very... I'm being generous when
I say
sun-like.
So like our own star, Maggie?
Yeah, not exactly like ours, but enough like our star that they could live long enough and have planets that could have life on them that's somewhat similar to our own.
That's quite a lot, isn't it?
It's a lot, but if you also have to consider that not every single one of those stars is going to have planets, and of the ones that do, they're not all going to have Earth-sized planets that are in the habitable zone. So I would say that a reasonable number would be about 10% of those, and I would say anywhere from 1 to, say, as many as 500 habitable planets are within that sphere of noise that we've created. But you have to keep in mind that, most of the transmissions that are leaking out into space are doing just that. They're leaking. They're not beamed intentionally at any star system. So they're very weak by the time they get there. And all the signals that we leak out into space are not going equally in all directions. Sometimes you have to be in a certain spot to be able to pick that up.
Great question, Tony. Thank you very much. So carrying on with that sort of theme, Maggie, how do we try and pick up alien signals, assuming that people are technologically ahead of us and they are sending things our way? How do we try and find them?
Well, we have to listen. And getting telescope time, getting time on a large enough telescope to be able to detect transmissions of the type that we are actively leaking out into space is actually kind of a challenge. So SETI, as a scientific effort, as a pursuit, as something that the astronomical community and public are engaged in, is really just a very limited activity right now. And I think that one of the most exciting things that will be happening soon with regard to SETI is the construction of the Allen Telescope Array in Northern California. And that is underway, and actually part of it is functional now. But when it's completed, that will really be our first opportunity to begin monitoring the skies 24/7 for intelligent signals coming from other star systems.
You have narrowed down the number of planets that you think fairly locally might play home to foreign life. How have you done that, and how many of them are there?
I have attempted to do this exercise by picking out stars that are similar to the sun with regard to a lot of different factors. Like, for example, we don't want to spend our telescope time looking at stars that are really young, because those systems are probably still filled with the debris of planet formation, and you've got huge collisions going on with comets and asteroids, and those planets just are not very nice places to live right now. No way do they have radio telescopes. And so we don't want to look at the really young ones. On the other hand, really old stars tend to not have a lot of the heavy metals like iron and nickel that are needed in order to form planetary, at least terrestrial planets. So really old stars, or stars that just don't have a lot of that, those metals in them, are not good places to look either, because they're not likely to have planets like the Earth.
So what does that leave you with?
Well, we end up with a pretty substantial chunk of stars. And I have you know, a list of on the order of 18,000 stars for us that are really our top targets for SETI.
Are they anywhere near here?
What'd you say?
Are they anywhere near here?
Yeah, we have some of them are very nearby. And I think a lot of people know of, for example, Alpha Centauri. I'm just naming a few. I'm not saying that these are the best places in the entire
universe. This is where you'll find UFOs.
Okay? Do not put me on the spot like that, because I am not going to tell you what's the best one to look at. But, for example, Alpha Centauri is a sun-like star. It's the closest sun-like star to us. It's only one parsec away, about 4 light years. And it actually is in a triple star system. But maybe it could still be habitable to Earth. The second star actually gets a little closer than I'd like it to. So it's not ideal, but it's interesting because it's so nearby and it's so much like the sun. And then Epsilon Eridani is another bright star that is actually a little bit less luminous than the sun. It's kind of an orange star. It's a little cooler. So planets that are habitable would be a little closer to that star than they are in our solar system. But that's actually one of my very favorite stars that I feel like we absolutely must look at.
Okay, well, I've got loads of emails here, which are actually for both you and Carolyn, so we might as well have a look at those. We've got one cheeky question from Simba, who says, Maggie, can you tell us in miles an hour how fast does the Earth travel around the sun? But you're not going to answer that, because, of course, that's our question for this evening, which Helen's going to answer shortly.
Well, I do have a question about that, though. Do you guys really think in terms of miles per hour? I thought British people thought in terms of kilometres.
No, of course, yeah, of course, it's America, two great nations, America and the UK, we still know how to drive. Obviously, we know how to drive on the right side of the road. You're on the wrong side of the road, but we still use the right distance measurement, which is miles.